All right, back to 1 Kings, chapter 1. I remember as a young believer, upon hearing and seeing new types of Christ in the Scriptures, I remember being absolutely ecstatic. And now, years later, I can honestly say that I get even more ecstatic, even more excited, a new revelation of Christ from the Old Testament. Now, let's do a little review. It may be little, it may turn out to be big, depending on liberty. King of Kings. Solomon now is the earthly king that is spoken of in these verses, the son of David. But as in all Scripture, it's speaking of a greater than Solomon, who himself is the son of David, King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, here's the story. One of the king's sons named Adonijah. Look at verse 5. Let's go back to that. Verse 5. Adonijah, it says, son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And then he got him some chariots and some men and so on. Without a word from the king, and in pride and vain glory, he exalted himself. And he said, I will. He exalted or exercised his free will. But little did he know that King David, long before, had made a covenant, a decree, that is, and confirmed it with an oath that Solomon was his king. So even before this fellow decided, Solomon was already king to the king. And Adonijah exalted himself, but the king, King David, had exalted Solomon. Adonijah said, I will, but King David had already decided Solomon will. And sooner or later, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Solomon was king, even Adonijah. All right? This is a story of the rebellion of man, mankind. Adonijah represents mankind. From the beginning, man, from the first man, Adam and Eve, I include, man has exalted himself. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden, didn't they? They exalted themselves above God, above God's will. They exercised their own free will. That's really the only time man has ever had a free will. He was a righteous being, and he had the ability to choose good or evil. Right? That's the only time. Only time man has ever had a free will. What did he choose? What did man's free will do for him? Huh? Did he choose God? I say, well, man's a victim of his environment. What kind of environment did Adam live in? What was it that prompted him to choose evil? Now, that lays that foolish notion in the dust, doesn't it? But man, from the beginning, has said, I will be as God. That's how Satan tempted him to. You'll be as God, he said, I will. And from the beginning, people have imagined this vain thing. They have imagined. The heathen gather themselves and the people imagine a vain thing, and it's against the Lord and against his anointed. They think man has the power of God. This is the issue today. You know what? This is the issue today. The free will, the reigning free will of man. That is the issue. It's whether or not God's will be done or man's will. That's the issue today. And as remember, as Spurgeon said, if you're wrong on the fall, you're wrong on it all. They missed that. Well, they believe man has a free will and he exalts himself. Man exalts man, doesn't he? Man exalts his own self-righteousness, and his self-rule. But it's never been so. From the beginning, God has had but one king. One who is Lord over all. One whose will be done. And in an eternal covenant confirmed with an oath, God hath made Jesus Christ both Lord, Christ, Judge, and King. King of kings. And in spite of what men say, they have no free will at all, but they do the bidding of King Jesus Christ. Even the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Man's will was in the hands of the Lord. And even before mankind did this, Satan did it, didn't he? Before the man was on the earth, Satan did it. He said, I will exalt myself. Throne to the stars, didn't it? Huh? There's only one will, and it's God. Well, Adonijah said heat to himself, or that is, he gathered lots of people to himself, a great crowd of people. Look at verse 7. And he conferred with Joab. Joab was a famous captain and a priest, Abiathar, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. They helped him. Verse 9, Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohelah, which is by Engrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. He had a big crowd following him now. He'd drawn away lots of disciples after himself. But verse 10, look at this. But Nathan, the prophet, the true prophet, and Benaiah, and mighty men, and Solomon. There's the most important one. The king's beloved son, he didn't call them. They weren't invited. They weren't invited. Well, Adonijah was religious, though. We read back there in verse 6, it says he was a goodly man, didn't it? A good moral man, a fine man. He couldn't have, Henry, he couldn't have led all these people astray if he was openly wicked, could he? They just saw right through him. But he had a form of godliness. Or, if you will, a form of kingliness, but denied the power thereof. And he was religious, and we saw that they slew some animals and so forth. I imagine they had sacrifices. But all these people were ignorant, as well as Adonijah. Ignorant of the will of the king. They gave no regard. There's no mention whatsoever of them seeking a word of the king. The word of the king is never mentioned. Nobody ever said, what did the king say about this? Nobody ever said that. In verse 6, Adonijah imagined that he had the king's approval, didn't he? Because the king didn't confront him and say, what do you think you're doing? He imagined a vain thing. He imagined that the king, that he had his approval. The king loved him and esteemed him highly and approved of what he was doing and, yes, made him a little king. The king never said that. Never said that. And they never consulted the word of the king. And isn't that like religion today? Well, now, I said this represents mankind. Turn over to Ephesians 2. And when I say mankind, I mean us. We mankind. Every one of us, by nature, we're just like old Adonijah. You know that? You know that. In Ephesians chapter 2, Adonijah is typical of all mankind. Adonijah represents all men and women by nature, even us. Ephesians 2, look at these verses, very familiar. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What kind of trespasses and sin? Well, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. You were just like everybody else. According to the prince of the power of the air. That is, you were captives at his will. You did his bidding. The spirit that now worketh in the children is disobedient. Some of you were probably religious, goodly, moral, but you did not recognize God's King, God's sovereign King. Mm-mm. You believed in man's free will. You believed you had one. Did you? Some of you did. Among whom, verse 3, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Even as us. Wrath at what? At God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And Paul said the same thing over in Colossians. He said this in Colossians 1. He said, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Works of religion. Yet now hath he reconciled. Reconciled what? Reconciled to the fact that Christ reigns. In the body of his flesh. That's how he did it. Well, back to the story. In 1 Kings. Well, the servants of the king now. The servants of the king, the true servants of King David, his bride and his prophet. Bathsheba was the king's bride, and she was true to the king. And his prophet, Nathan. And he had a priesthood. And they went to the king, remember? They went to the king, complaining to the king of all these, of Adonijah and all these people, doing things against the word of the king, against the will of the king, setting themselves up. They went complaining to the king, just as we do, just as David did in Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off? Psalm 13. How long? Will you put up with this? Huh? And that's what they did. Went complaining to the king. And they also went to reaffirm or have reconfirmed to themselves the word, the oath of the king. I'd love to go back and read that again. But Bathsheba went in first. The bride went in first and said, now, king, you told me, you swore to me, that Solomon reigns. That he reigns and rules. Well, there are Adonijah down there. He's reigning. He's ruling. And the people everywhere, everybody is following him, almost without exception. Now, who's reigning? Would you tell me again? And then right behind her, Nathan came in, you know, and said, maybe I haven't read it. Maybe you wrote it somewhere. But I haven't seen it. Would you tell me, did you do this? Did you put Adonijah on the throne? Does he have a free will? Does he reign or does Solomon reign? Who? Would you tell me again? And I can see David smiling now. I can see him smiling now and said, yes, I will. And look down at verse 30, all right? Verse 29, and the king swear. Now, he tells us not to swear. Don't you swear by anything. Why? Because we can't keep our oaths and our vows, but God swears. And look who he swore by. As the Lord liveth. The king swear, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel. So he swore, and he can swear by no greater. And he confirmed this thing with an oath. He said, saying, now the king is speaking to his people. The word of the king is for his people. Remember how he called each one of men individually? And he spoke his word to them. They heard the word from the king. And look at what his word. What's his word concerning? What does he say? Assuredly, Solomon, thy son shall reign after me. That's what God said. He shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. And what Bathsheba, what did the bride do? Oh, she bowed with her face to the earth. I can see her smiling too. And did reverence to the king and said, let my Lord King David live forever. Let him live forever. And like I said, one by one he called them in. Each of his chosen ones. Who was going to hear? Those the king called. Each one of them. This may grow into a three-part message. As a matter of fact, we're already going through 1 Peter and Luke. I'd love to go through 1 Kings, but it truly may go into a three-part message, because in chapter 2, we're going to see that some of these that appeared to be with David were not. And how we know is that David didn't call them in individually and give them the word. They didn't hear the word. Well, the king called his people individually, and each one of them heard the word. Look at verse 33 and 34. The king said unto them, he just called Nathan and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king, and Zadok the priest, and king said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule. My mule. Every mule in the kingdom belongs to the king. That's my mule. No, the king said it's his. Oh, okay. My mule. Bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there. And king over Israel, blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. He commanded them, lift him up. Put him up above everybody. Set him on a mule. Set him forth. Down in verse 36. So, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king. Look at what Benaiah said. Amen. Amen. I like this. The Lord God of my Lord the King said so too. At the mouth of two or three witnesses. And God, as the Lord hath been with my Lord the King. Look at this, verse 37. He said, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. And you know, David didn't even object to that. Why, this man said, I hope that the king's son is even greater than the father. And David said, fine with me. Fine with me. Oh, he delighted that they were honoring the son even as they honored the father. And so, in the fullness of time, verse 39, look at this. This is wonderful. In the fullness of time, the king sent forth his son, and Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle, anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. So, the prophet said it, the priest said it, and the king said it, concerning one person. These all agreed in one. Solomon reigned. Solomon reigned. And so with the trumpet blaring and the people declaring, God save the king. Or God saves by the king. And it says in verse 40, all the people came up after him. The people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of it. Well, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? You don't need for me to explain it. But God hath declared the decree. Jesus Christ is His only begotten, well-beloved Son. His elect. His chosen. His King. And he has given him all authority in heaven and earth. All authority as judge, savior, and king to save whom he will, to destroy whom he will. We're going to see that in chapter 2. How the King David said, I'm leaving it up to you. You're the judge. You decide who lives and who dies. And in time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law by being made a curse for them. And he even paraded his son on a colt, the foal of an ass, just like this. And the people went out before him crying, Hosanna, to the king. And then God lifted him up, didn't he, on Calvary's tree, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and set him forth as a propitiation, that is, a bloody offering and sacrifice for the sins of his elect. And the Scripture says this, after he finished the work of redemption, when he said it's finished, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and the Scripture says the earth did quake. Just like it did here. The earth rent, shook. The earth shook because God said, yea, and once more, in the end of the day, I'm going to shake this thing to. And he didn't stay dead, though. Christ didn't stay dead, but God raised him up from the dead and sat him at his own right hand as King of kings, Lord of lords, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And some of those enemies to bow at his feet, to sit at his feet and hear his word. Well, here's a type of one of those. All right? Verse 41. Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, or that is, they heard the commotion. And as they had made an end of eating, they heard this. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, what's going on? Wherefore is this noise of the city in an uproar? What is going on out there? And look at this, verse 42. While he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, a young man. A young man. Son of a preacher, came in. And Adonijah said unto him, come in, you're a valiant man. You bring good tidings, don't you? You got some good tidings for us? Yeah, I sure do. I got some gospel for you. Good tidings. And so this young man gives his glad tidings. It takes about 5 minutes to give it. It's a very simple message, a 5-minute sermon. And this is how it begins. In verse 43, Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, here's the first thing he said, first thing out of his mouth, verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. Of a truth, God Christ hath made, or God hath made Christ, both Lord and King, whom you have crucified. And verse 44, and the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet. King, the prophet, the priest. They say Solomon reigned. And read on down there, verse 45. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king. He's anointed. And they come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you've heard. We hear a lot today about anointing, don't we? Anointing. If you turn on the TV, that's all you're going to hear about. I've got an anointing. I've got an anointing. The Lord gave me a special anointing. Have you got the anointing? Anointing, anointing, anointing. God's people talk about the anointed one. That's who John talked about, didn't he? John said, God hath given him the Spirit without measure. He's the anointed one. I get so tired of hearing this anointed, anointed, anointed. He's going to anoint them all right. Well, look at verse 46. And he said, he continued his 5-minute message. He said, and also Solomon, while he's sitting on the throne right now. He's sitting on the throne of the kingdom. Yes, right now. He's reigning and ruling. Just assuredly. And moreover, verse 47, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, and this is what they said, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself to his son. The king said, thy throne, O Solomon, is forever and ever. The king said it. And verse 48, and also, thus said the king. Thus said the king. You see that, Joe? He keeps saying, the king said, the king said, the king said. This is what the king said. What? Solomon reigns, Solomon reigns, Solomon reigns. His whole message was Solomon reigns. The king said so. And he's sitting on the throne right now. Verse 48, and also thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes having seen it. Well, where the word of the king is, there's power. And though this was just a young man, and you know, he's just telling the tidings and telling what he saw. Go tell him what you saw. What'd you see? Solomon's reigning. The king said so. Is that all you know? Yes. He's all. And y'all better bow. So where the word of the king is, in spite of the vessel, there's power. And by the word of the king, declaring, and this is the word of the king. Did this fellow ask anybody to do anything, to accept him as their personal king? Huh? Did he give an altar call and ask anybody? Now, he's on the throne and he wants all of you to be his servants. He wants all of you to be his loyal subjects. He loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you'll just accept King Solomon as your personal king, he didn't say. He said he's on the throne. And he walked out. That's all he did, to declare who's reigning. What happened? Fear took hold. The first thing that happened was this council of the heathen was brought to naught. They dispersed. Look at verse 49. All the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, and they rose up and took off. I couldn't help but think when the Lord, the king himself, came down and wrote in the dust, boy, it dispersed the counsel of the wicked. And it put fear in the heart of one old boy. Who? Adonijah. This God, this king hater, this self-exalting, free will exalting man who ignored the king's word and the king's will, who cared nothing for the king's beloved son, who imagined that he had the king's approval, now realized he was guilty of high treason. Oh, he thought the king loved him. He thought he had the king's approval. But he realizes now he's guilty of the highest treason against the king. That he doesn't have the king's approval. Yeah, he has the king's wrath abiding upon him. And he realizes, I believe, that he deserves his wrath. There's only one hope. He had heard, Adonijah had heard, just like all the king's sons have heard, long before, that if there was a guilty sinner before the Lord, that they could go to one place. There's just one place. There's just one way to have that guilt removed. Just one way. And there's one place to find it. There's a tabernacle. And inside that tabernacle, there's an altar. And on that altar, there's a sacrifice. And you've got to come to the sacrifice. You've got to lay hold on the sacrifice. And so that's what Adonijah did. Look at verse 50. Adonijah feared because of Solomon, arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. He feared, he arose, he came, he laid hold. Now what could be simpler than that? Guilty. He got up. Why am I tarrying? He made haste. Laid hold on the altar. He came. He laid hold of the sacrifice. In verse 51, it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. Well, lo, he caught hold on." How do you know he fears him? He's laying hold on the altar. That's where he is right now. He's been there 24 hours now. He won't let go. Saying, and here's what he said. Now, before, he hadn't given any thought to the word of the king, had he? He just presumed, didn't he? He just assumed, didn't he, that he had the king's approval. Now, he said, "I want to hear the king say. I want to hear him say unto my soul." Look at it. "Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant." Now, I'm not king. He's king. Let him not slay. There shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness will be found in him, he shall die. What made me go to this passage in the first place was that chapter in Luke 7 about the centurion of whom they said was a worthy man. Remember that? We were due to study Luke 7, and that story goes that the people... The centurion had a sick servant, you know, and the people said, "He's a worthy man. He's done much good for us." But the centurion said of himself, "I'm not worthy." That's how you know if a man's worthy of mercy. Who's worthy of mercy? That's a misnomer, isn't it? He's not worthy of mercy. Mercy is for the guilty, not for the deserving. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Well, who's worthy of mercy, though? It's the unworthy. The unworthy. And so King Solomon said, if he'll show himself a worthy man now, he won't a hair of his head fall to the ground. You have my word. He will not die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and bowed himself to the king, Solomon. And Solomon said, "Go to your house." Well, look over in closing in Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. This is a perfect verse in closing. We need to compare the one with the other, don't we? This is the perfect way to close this chapter. Paul perhaps had this in mind when he wrote this. Hebrews 6, verses 17 and 18. And in one place, Paul in Hebrews, Paul said, "We have an altar." Didn't he? And he said here in Hebrews chapter 6, wherein, verse 17, "God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. And he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." guilty sinner, lay hold on the horns of the altar. The king said, if you're unworthy, not a hair of your head will fall to the ground. Well, like I said, we need to, my pastor always said a type can't walk on four legs because nothing can perfectly represent our Lord. They're just shadows. Types and shadows cannot perfectly represent the substance, right? They're just a figure. And it's true. Anybody lays hold on the hope, Jesus Christ, not a hair of your head will fall to the ground. They're numbered. You'll not die. He said that. If you'll show yourself a worthy man, or that is, an unworthy, lay hold and continue steadfast. Lay hold on the beginning of your confidence, steadfast to the end. Not a hair of your head will fall to the ground. Your spiritual head. He promised. But if we go into it, we're going to see that Adonijah did not prove himself to be worthy. He still maintained a little self-rule, a little self-will. And the king knew it. The king knew it. He knew it all along. But this was written for our learning. And for our sake, that we might have comfort. Comfort. If you lay hold on Christ, our altar, not a hair of your head will fall. He promised. Just stay right here. Here's safe ground. Unworthy. Unworthy. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is. Safe ground. All right, let's stand. Our God and our King, we plead that one and only sacrifice for guilty sinners, and we are guilty. We are still guilty sinners. Our sin is ever before us. We see this law warring in our members. So that we cannot do the things that we would serve Thee with a perfect heart and a perfect life, but You are so glad You know our frame and remember that we're but dust, and most of all, we're glad that You sent forth Your Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. You made a sacrifice for us. And so it is to Him that we cling and lay hold on for this hope, for refuge. He is our hope. Christ, our city of refuge and our altar, our sacrifice. And it is in His name that we've met together tonight. Ask Your blessings on Your word. To God be the glory. God save by the King, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.